You and I are in debt, my fellow Americans. Big, probably non-repayable debt. By the way, do you know how much? Do you know how much our beloved country has debt? Do you know how much you owe? We owe over $19 trillion. $19 trillion with a T, dollars. I don't know about you, but I can't comprehend that amount. It's just beyond my comprehension. $19 trillion is a debt amount so staggering, I dare say no American, not the very best economist, not even the Government Accounting Office or the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, can accurately compute or understand what that means. Can you? But what it does mean is that every American citizen, man, woman, and child, is in debt now and forevermore, tens of thousands of dollars, and it's growing every year. And we seem unconcerned. We seem apathetic, we Americans do, probably because the government, is it really ours, never sends any of us a bill for our fair share, our pro rata part of that inconceivable American debt. We have become accustomed to the debt being the federal government's problem, and consequently not ours. They, our rulers, will figure out how to pay some portion thereof, manage the rest with high interest rates, charge it off to the future, you know, kick the can down the road, or worst of all, print money, more money, and bring on the risk of inflation, real, significant inflation. You remember what happened in Germany? What those people faced before the Second World War? That kind of inflation may someday be possible for America. So I say to you, look at your children, just born and college age, and think of them as debtors, debt beyond their imagination when they are adults and ready for the payback of the money we have squandered. Have them, those you love, get ready to pay incredible taxes, perhaps higher than ever before, which will sabotage their future, mortgage their opportunity, and forever keep them in that debt because it will never, ever really be repaid. It just won't. It's too much. And get ready for higher taxes, my fellow Americans, much higher taxes. Depending upon the elections, President, Senate, and House, higher taxes are coming. If the Democrats win the presidency, either Clinton or Sanders, taxes will rise dramatically if, in fact, the Democrats can regain control of the Senate and create a much stronger influence in the House of Representatives. Even if the Republicans are elected, now it seems Donald Trump, all alone, there will be higher taxes no matter what they say. And a lesser lifestyle, and more government, and more money used to repay the debt of the distant past and pay for the ever-growing needs of the American citizenry. If the Republicans are elected and control, America will have socialism light. Sounds strange to say that, doesn't it? But much more things socialistic than ever before. They won't be able to help it. It'll be out of their control. But if the Democrats are elected, we will have real and permanent socialism, which, in the opinion of so many experts, will radically and permanently change the course, the direction, and the lifestyle of our country, moving to the next level of the radical and disastrous Obama change. It's coming. Think of that between now and November when you decide to vote, or more importantly, when you decide not to vote. Think about the words of philosopher-theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said, "Not to act is to act," so that if you don't vote, you've acted. Why would you do that? Our federal government increases that national debt every year. The deficits of our country's spending, our federal spending, grows each and every year, with or without a budget. Our president and our Congress tell us that they carefully chart out the spending of our country, our federal government, international, national, and local, and prepare a budget which the vast majority of Americans ignore or do not understand. They ram that budget through the political process, pass it, and watch the calculations, the estimations, the so-called scoring of the legislative intent, and the legislation go off target day one. Day one. But it is really extremely difficult to pass new taxes to pay for new deficits, so that any deficit is merely added to the ever-growing and astronomical federal debt. One economist called it economic cancer. Economic cancer, where new economic cancer cells, the current deficit, are added to the old, the total national debt, and the cancer, the economic cancer, increases without remission until that economic cancer becomes fatal. Then the economy of that negligent country collapses. Rampant inflation occurs, like Germany in 1930, and money is printed on worthless paper. Prices go sky high, savings are wiped out, and social chaos occurs. And all of that is a real possibility for America, so many believe. That's now in sight. We the people are addicted. We simply cannot control our urge for spending, nor can our representatives. No matter the cost, if the want or need is apparent, or the majority of us want that, or our Washington rulers want that, it happens, no matter the economic ramifications. Remember that, American parents or grandparents, remember that. The next time you look into the innocent eyes of a child, your child, that child will never know the America you and I once knew. Never. Congress, House, and Senate know their spending addiction. Some try economic controls while others resist. Some senators and representatives really do want America to stop lavish and exorbitant spending. But unfortunately, most do not. In fact, Congress realizes that it cannot control itself. Therefore, it passed legislation which called for sequester. That is an automatic process, not subject to vote or political influence, whereby every item of the budget as originally passed would be reduced proportionately or pro rata as a percentage of the newly increased current deficits added to the permanent debt. No choice on the part of the Congress. They told us, our rulers, who long since ceased to be representatives, that they cannot control themselves and their spending, and therefore an automatic economic process, sequester, must be implemented to effectuate the controls and the restraint of which they were unable. What a sad and tragic day for us, for we the people, and for us now and those who come after us. Our descendants will never know, may I say it again, the America we have and we have known. And they will be saddled with debt like a citizenry perhaps never before in history, and certainly our history. And we the people indeed are a real part of the problem. We are indifferent. We are apathetic. We are unwilling to study, unwilling to demand restraint, having lost input and influence over our representatives, and the problem exacerbates. We the people are like Nero, fiddling on the balcony of his palace while Rome burned. We just simply won't pay the price, for it's too hard, too difficult, and requires a very serious moral commitment to democracy and economic restraint, which requires far too much time, effort, and money. So, back to Starbucks we go. Bernie Sanders would increase the top income tax rate to 54%. It's now 39%. Sanders would tax capital gain and dividends as though it were ordinary income. Up to 54%. It's now 20%. And such moves would indeed wipe out even more of the private economy and turn us more socialistic. Hillary Clinton would dramatically increase the tax rate top to bottom. Perhaps not as high as Sanders, but if she is elected, she will do everything in her power to increase the tax rates and consequently federal spending. Even Trump, Donald Trump, has admitted that he will raise taxes in some areas while lowering them in others. It really is unclear what that man as president will do, or for that matter, in some economic areas, what he really thinks. Ted Cruz, when he was a candidate, seemed flat tax oriented and believes in VAT, V-A-T, value-added tax, which affects business and the products and services it produces. Little was known of Rubio's current thinking, for he has dropped out of the race. Whoever is elected president We the people can be almost certain that we will be paying more taxes, not just the rich or the wealthy, but everybody, including the so-called middle class and even those below. The only other choice is more debt, which economists think in 7 to 10 years will be an absolute disaster for America. And more sobering thoughts to share with your little children, don't you think? Warren Buffett, the 50-billionaire, said the following, I could end the budget deficit in 5 minutes. You just pass a law that says that any time there is a deficit of more than 3% of gross domestic product, GDP, all sitting members of Congress are ineligible for re-election. What a great idea. If you, the representative, cannot control spending, and you add to this monstrous debt, and you economically lie to the American people, you cannot, by constitutional amendment, be reelected to Congress, House or Senate. And that would force the career politicians to pay attention to business, don't you think? A fat chance that will ever happen. But Buffett goes on to remind us of the following. The 26th Amendment, granting the right to vote for 18-year-olds, took only 3 months and 8 days to be ratified and become part of our Constitution. Why? Why such a short time? Simple. Simple, says Buffett. The people demanded it. The people demanded that 18-year-olds have the right to vote, and in a period of 3 months and 8 days, our precious, often inviolable Constitution was amended. Let me repeat the last part of Buffett's statement. The people demanded it. But we the people have no intention of demanding a constitutional amendment like Buffett recommends, for we are basically indifferent, and we are basically apathetic, and we are basically controlled by so many political forces, federal, state, and local, that we have been unempowered, divorced from political realities, and consequently unenergetic or withdrawn from our civic duties and opportunities as citizens. Our ruling political class know we won't demand of state legislatures that such an amendment pass, and so they go their merry way, doing the same old thing to the ruination of the American economy. Ah, what a tragedy. A terrible, terrible economic tragedy. And Warren Buffett goes on, along with so many others, to recommend the following. No congressman should have tenure of any kind. No tenure. No congressman should have a pension of any kind. A congressperson privileged to serve our country collects a salary while in office and receives no pay or benefits or retirement income when out of office. And all members of Congress, past, present, and future, must participate in Social Security. They now don't. All funds which are millions and millions of dollars in the Congressional Retirement Fund move immediately to the Social Security system. Immediately. All such future funds flow into the Social Security system, and Congress participates with the American people in the benefits and liabilities for all of Social Security, Medicare, and how about Obamacare? Hey, that sounds fair to me. How about you? And, says Buffett, any and all funds in Social Security now and in the future can only be used for Social Security purposes and no other. Congress now repeatedly and aggressively appropriates Social Security monies for any political needs at any time. They just take it. They just take it. Congress, says Buffett, should no longer be able to vote themselves a pay increase. Congressional pay will rise by the lower of CPI or 3%. That's it. And Congress loses their highly preferred and vastly superior, at least to us, current health care system, and participates in the same health care system Obamacare as the American people. Why not? Why should they have any preference over us? Congress, says Buffett, must equally abide by all laws they impose on the American people. They don't now in so many ways. They exempt themselves. What do you think about all that? Sounds awful good to me. Once elected, House and Senate members make the laws subject to presidential approval or veto. We are done. No voice, no say. Our only control of our so-called representatives once elected is through the process of constitutional amendments. That's really it, which can control their actions once and for all. Oh, we can impeach them, but that is highly impractical and virtually never occurs. We can vote them out at the very next election, but that takes time and so much harm can be done. We can stop contributions and funding to campaigns, which we should, but that will only influence the next election. The constitutional amendment process is the ultimate check and balance, the ultimate control, the ultimate protection of the democratic process and the fundamental values and freedoms upon which our great country is built. We should use it, my fellow Americans. We should amend our Constitution to effectuate these critical changes. Oh, let's wake up. Let's wake up, Americans. Please, let's wake up before it's too late. We must do more, much more. Congress spends our money, not theirs, not the government's, the money of we the people. We would never, ever, ever spend our own personal money the way Congress spends our money. Not only is there overspending, but there is fraud, and there is waste, and there is preference, and there is pork, and so much else which adds billions of dollars to our debt and to our deficits. We know about these fraudulent processes in general, but we take no time to find out specifically what they are, and that information is available, and we let the economic cancer spread. Why do we do that? We have the most blessed, God-given country and lifestyle in the history of mankind. We have a republic built on democratic principles and a constitution, the finest document ever written, if, as Ben Franklin says, we can keep it. I'm not sure we can. We are doing one terrible job in protecting, defending, and preserving our essential way of life and our freedoms, including the oft-taken-for-granted pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Oh, once again, my fellow Americans, please, let us all wake up, for time runs short. Trump and Sanders, outsiders to the political process, are political alarm clocks, the one asking you with him to make America great again, and the other to move America deeper and perhaps permanently into socialism. Perhaps real choice, real differences, real changes have never been more available to we the people. And that may even be so with Hillary Clinton, who will certainly continue Obama's policies and perhaps even more progressively so. Pay attention. Get involved. Study the issues and the candidates. Think as never before what you want America to be. Think as never before what you want America to be. If you don't move to protect it, others will take it away from you. Don't let that happen. It's your country and mine for now. Someday soon it may not be. A country left to children and grandchildren, and what will it be? Think about America as it is and how it will change in the next 4 years, depending upon the outcome of the most critical election America has ever faced. Think about that the next time you look in the eyes of your children and your grandchildren. What kind of America will you leave to them?